Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour 2 Agenda Free Friday is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. As promised, right to your phone calls. Mike in Plymouth. Mike in Plimpton. Go ahead. You lead off this hour. Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing? So I think we can all agree that the Patriots definitely flipped the switch at the end of the season and through the playoffs so far. I just want to know if you guys think that has anything to do with Josh Gordon being gone.
So I think I was asked this on TV last night. I think Josh Gordon being gone was a plus for you. Absolutely. It didn't time out quite that way because when was he?
Right after the Pittsburgh loss.
So it was after Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it does time out then.
So to me, the gain there is that they went back to playing offensively the way they used to.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, how I felt about Josh Gordon from the start, waste of your time and got in the way. And that's what I think he did. I think he was a waste of your time who got in the way. And you would have maybe arrived at the place you have now sooner if you weren't trying to force feed that guy the ball. Never mind all the mental and physical energy of just shadowing him off the field and like trying to make sure he doesn't go off the reservation and sneak it. The guy, you had a tail on him. You had to have someone on a tail, tailing him. And he still snuck away. Like, well, why are you wasting your time with that? You clearly don't need it.
I'll tell you what, looking back, I half wonder if Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett got together. We're a better team without him, for crying out loud. We'll get some playing time back.
So I feel like they really turned the page coming out of the bye when they stopped throwing to him over the top. Remember all those stupid deep balls?
Absolutely,
they were throwing to him?
Yeah.
And I think they went to the bye and they came back from the bye and then it was all sort of underneath possession stuff.
Yeah, slants and hitches and stuff like that.
So I think that was the real turning point, but just blowing that guy out of here, you don't need him. So, yeah, it times out a little bit. Murray, did you have a thought there?
No, I mean, I think that they're better off without him because I couldn't understand why Philip Dorsett essentially became persona non grata in this offense because he looked pretty good early. He was great against Miami in that home game. And you just see, like, basically anytime you do him, he's going to make that catch. So you get him more involved. Chris Hogan is now more involved. It seemed like there was something going on between him and Brady, and he was pissed off. So, you know, I think they're better all around for not having him here.
Okay, Brian in Pennsylvania with the football thought for us. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I just noticed, I want to give me real quick this Pro Bowl. The week running up to the Pro Bowl is usually a suck fest. horrible TV. And I was wondering if they did like a Battle the Hollywood Stars with the positions, give all the guys their awards and all that crap, but have a run-up to a real game, like the runner-up bowl, I don't know, Under Armour.
Nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to work. No, all All-Star games suck, and there's nothing they can do about it. They should just stop doing it altogether. They're from a bygone era. They used to be you'd have to do it because you didn't see every game, you didn't see every player, you didn't have the highlight packages, you didn't have the satellite packages, so when the American League and National League played, it was your one chance to see Willie Mays or whatever. But that's from a bygone era. It's not needed in any sport, in any form, at any time.
They really should wipe them out.
I mean, seriously.
I mean, you know what? Do the skills competition. Fans like that better anyway. Do the three-point contest and the dunk, and everybody go home, take Sunday off.
I do none of it. Agenda Free Friday, everything's on the table. So Cam and Taunton has a quick hockey thought. Go, Cam.
Hey, Mike, you remember the best Patriots veggie thought that the Malcolm Butler interception didn't save the Super Bowl because they were going to stop him anyway? Remember that one?
That was another all-timer. They were going to win anyway.
It's true. Remember,
great.
We got calls on that. Like, why do you keep mentioning the Butler interception? That's not what won us the game.
Yeah, they'd have won anyway. Oh, it was time left.
God, anyway. Go ahead.
On the Bruins, Mike, I mean, they're at the break, and I don't know how I feel about the season because I feel like it's largely been a step sideways. I mean, they're not as good as they were in the regular season last year, obviously, but they caught lightning in a bottle last year. But none of the young kids have gotten better in the forwards. In fact, they've all gone backwards with the exception of DeBrusk. McAvoy can't stay on the effing ice. I look at it, like there's no way you're getting past the second round in either the Metro or the Atlantic, because you're facing a Tampa team that right now looks like it might be one of the greatest hockey teams of all time, or a Washington team that absolutely owns you. Huh. So they might win the first round because they're a good matchup with Toronto, but this is, they're stuck in NHL purgatory. Mike and Woburn was right. They should have tanked when they were rebuilding, and this is what happens, because they have no way to get better.
Don't do that. Now, don't do that thing. What, you wanted them to trade Patrice Bergeron? Because that's what it would have tanked the tank. That's what they should have done? Trade Patrice Bergeron? No one really believes that.
I'm reserving judgment on the Bruins, because right now, I'll take the step sideways.
Oh, they're totally treading water. There's no question about that.
But given what they dealt with there with Bergeron and Chara, I'll take the step sideways.
No, they've actually played okay, given the circumstances. It's just the roster hasn't progressed.
Yeah, Kemp, I mean...
Right? The young guys haven't gotten better.
I mean, I don't know. True. True. Force back at Carlson has shown a little.
Yeah.
A little. Mm. And so, but I'm going to reserve judgment until I see what the second half looks like.
You know, to them, honestly, I think they got to be careful at the deadline and not overreach. Cam's right about Tampa. There's nothing you can do at the deadline to close a gap with Tampa talent-wise. They are freaking wagon. And I felt that last year. Just look at their roster. And now they got a whole nother year together after the McDonough trade. And you can't touch them. There's nothing you can do at the deadline to close that gap. Nothing. So why throw away assets to improve you this year just to lose in five games versus four?
Okay, but what if it's a guy that you'll have going forward?
Okay, fair enough. With term, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want... A rental would be dumb. That would be dumb. But if you can get yourself a good young winger who, you know, can hang around for a few years and get rid of some of your, you know, I don't want to say dead weight, but extra pieces, fine, do that.
Mike in the truck, what do you got for me?
Why is nobody blaming Sean Payton for that game's loss? I mean, you got the ball under the two-minute warning. The Rams only have two timeouts. Run the ball three times. You get that clock down to 59 seconds, right around there. Kick the field goal. Make the Rams drive the field and tie the game. And all he does is complain about the refs. Can you imagine what you guys or what the Vulture would do to Bill Belichick if he came on the stands after a game like that, after a botched call like that, and blamed the refs for the loss? Can you imagine what would happen here? And point number two, we're going to get destroyed by the Rams. I swore on my mother last week that was a mistake. I got yelled at. I'm not going to do it again, but we're going to get destroyed by the Rams. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Mike. That first thing, I don't know. I know Peyton's gotten some blowback for this. A lot of people have mentioned it, that if he just runs three times, makes the Rams burn their timeouts, it's just under a minute left, and he's up 3 points. Given that what that kicker can do, I mean, you saw the 57-yarder was good from 67. Okay, the guy's got an absolute cannon. Is a three-point lead with 59 seconds left really that safe?
Probably not.
I mean, that's really not that. Hell, the Kansas City Chiefs had one timeout with 32 seconds by the time they snapped the first down. It was kicked off with 39. They got the ball with 32 seconds left. And the Chiefs had two plays and were kicking a 39-yarder. So, I don't know. I think if Payton had run three times, that's a little too conservative. I don't know. I think that would have been too easy a conversion there.
I mean,
for the Rams.
Look, you know,
it's two completions and the guy's kicking a 50-yarder.
I think it's okay to look at both. I think it's okay to say the call cost them the game. I mean, that was an egregious call. You can't let the officials off the hook for that. So the call cost them the game because ultimately what he was doing would have worked.
Right, exactly.
Okay?
If the refs had just done their job,
it would have worked. Now, that said, they still had a chance to win the game, and Drew Brees threw an interception against a team that has a guy that can kick it out of the building, for crying out loud. And that guy, this is one of the elements in this game that I don't think people should overlook. The special teams of the Rams, the kickers now, the coverage teams I can't speak to, but the kickers are better than the Patriots.
Scott and Plimpton, another Plimpton call. Go ahead, Scott.
Not Plimpton, Clinton.
Okay, Clinton.
So I listen to you guys all week long and all these people calling in about their stupid ideas for overtime rule changes and, you know, who had the ball the most and who had the most yards in the fourth quarter. All I can think about is, remember the old XFL?
Oh, yeah.
On how they decided who got the ball. They lined up the fastest guy for each team at either end zone, and they ran to the center of the field to get the ball. Whoever got there first got the ball. So as bad as a coin flip is, at least we don't have to watch Tyreek Hill grab the ball at the 50-yard line while Matthew Slater still at the 35, huffing and puffing.
So there's nothing wrong with the coin flip, but there is something wrong with an overtime format that doesn't give the best players a chance to play. And no other league does that. No other league does that. And it would just be a better format, I think, if they just played out the 10 minutes, giving that other team a chance. But there's no need to get stupid. There's no need to overthink the thing. It's just some sort of variation of the other side gets a shot, whether that's you just eliminate sudden death or you mandate they get a possession or whatever. I mean, it's as simple as that. There's no need to overthink it. And I mean, to me, it'd be a more entertaining format if that's what they did. Bob Sosi, the Bobcast, is coming up.
Smoking Bob.
So I'll turn the air down in here, Murray. It's about to get a little heated. Got to make sure that the fire alarms don't trip. That sometimes happens. Like when you leave your door open and the shower's on and the steam gets in there. This is what happens when Sosi gets in here.
We get some dry ice in here. Cool this place down.
Steam starts escaping. The next thing you know, we got the fire department here. Robert Sosi, Esquire, joins us next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Fourth and inches with the football just outside the Kansas City 9. 3:50, throws it on the clock. The AFC title hangs in the balance in a 21-17 lead for KC. Devlin in front of Michelle. Brady sends Gronkowski in motion. Left to right. Brady takes the step, gives to Michelle, runs it right, first down and more, untouched. Into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots, they regain the lead.
The rookie off right tackle to the strength of the defense. And the push up front is took balls, man. Takes big balls right here.
Here we go.
Speaking of big balls, man.
Sports takes.
Showtime.
The Big Ball Tuesday. The takes have gotten so hot that sponsors out there have taken notice. How could you not want to get a piece of this?
Brought to you by Tabasco.
Bob Sosi, no, even better, is brought to you by DCU, Digital Federal Credit Union. Take control of your student loan payments by refinancing with DCU and the hot cast, Bob Sosi. Learn more at DCU.com/refi now. Again, DCU.com/refi to help with your student loan payments. Hi, Roberto.
Oh, turn your mic on.
Hi, Michael. Tony.
Jalapeno Bob.
Did somebody mention ball gag? Or what? Have I heard that term recently? Have I seen that?
Oh, yeah.
We get something here for you today called the Bob Gag.
I got one.
I got something for both
of you. Go ahead.
Who the hell are you to talk about somebody else being a tool on the air? I heard that coming in here. You think those guys in other markets don't think our guys are tools?
Oh, yeah, I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
And what do you got for me, Bobby?
That goes for you, too.
Okay, that's it. Okay. I have one for you. I have a question for you.
All right, please.
And I'm being serious here. Belichick is such a freaking puppet master that he has now, with the coin flip, gotten everyone's head all like, I don't know how he's so in control that he's now completely flipped the coin flip thing to the point where now I don't know what I would want to do if I were the opponent. Okay. That's just the headline. In other words, forever and ever and ever and ever. Belichick deferred every time because he wanted the chance to get the double score at the end of the second quarter, beginning of the third. He always wanted the ball to start the third quarter so Brady could manipulate the clock at the end of the second and get that hairpin turn score. So he deferred something like 49 out of 50 times. I just made that up, but it was like 99% of the time. Okay? Now, this year, and especially this postseason, it's just the opposite. He wants the ball first, and he's taken advantage every time, getting on top of opponents. I don't know if the weather was a part of it, where he wanted that other offense to sit in the cold for an extra 8 minutes or whatever it is, but now it's all about getting the ball first, setting tone, getting up on top, and it's working perfectly, okay? If you're the Rams, and you win the toss in this Super Bowl, what do you do?
I know what I would do.
What would you do?
Defer. I defer. It's a neutral site game. It's, you know, Super Bowl. Like, I think it's going to be a feeling out process in the early part of the game. The Patriots have scored what? Have they scored a touchdown in their first drive in the Super Bowl? Do they have any points in the first quarter?
Yeah, isn't there a crazy stat?
Last year was the first time with Tom Brady they had scored in the first quarter.
So, you know what? I take the possessions in the middle of the game.
Me too. I always take the hairpin turn. And always take the ball to start the third, but are you playing into what Bill Belichick wants now? And they've been so successful with it.
Well, I think two things. First of all, Andy Reid was criticized last week for deferring. And I thought that if you criticized him in the moment when he made the decision, okay, fair enough. But I thought in retrospect, given his offense and how explosive it is, it was less important for them to be out front initially because they've come back on the Patriots and they did it in that game in the second half.
Didn't they get
than it was for the Patriots to be out front. So I think from
didn't
his
they score a touchdown on their opening possession of the third quarter?
They did.
So they took advantage of it.
And
exactly.
They should have had three at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
They botched
that. Sacked and knocked out a field goal. Right.
So it actually played the way they wanted it to play.
Yes. They took that loss to force them out of field goal range, and then they came out three plays into the second half, and they were on the board with a touchdown. But I'm with Tony, too. I think if you get into the psychological battle and trying to outguess Belichick or try to read his mind, then you're playing into his hands even more. So I think if you're Sean McVay, you've got to have faith in your offense and your ability to adjust, and I think you also have to have faith in Wade Phillips and his experience. And if it's your MO to take the football first and you want a fast start offensively, then you do it. If it's your if it's your MO to defer and you want the double score, at least the opportunity to adjust going into halftime with a score and then build on in the second half, I think you do that.
Pat's going to keep taking the ball if they win?
This game is interesting to me. I'm not sure with this particular game. I think neutral site, I think you look at the Rams in comparison to the Chiefs. I think as good as this offense has been, I don't see the explosiveness with this offense with Jared Goff as I've seen with Mahomes all year and that Kansas City offense, particularly on the road. So I think in this case, if the Patriots win the coin toss, I wouldn't be surprised if they decide, let's defer. Also, the other fact is I think there was a lot of faith and confidence that they could come out and establish the line of scrimmage and run the ball successfully against both of the playoff opponents. I'm not sure that they go into this game feeling like that's going to be their game plan against the Rams. Certainly running will be part of it, but I think the approach would be a little bit different.
Okay, Bob Sosi's got the call here for 98.5 The Sports Hub a week from Sunday, 6:30 kick with him and Zolak. Do you have a question?
I was just going to say to that point, do you think they can run on the Rams?
I think it's going to be more difficult than it's been certainly the first two games. As improved as the Chargers were against the run, but when you look at the Rams defensively.
Ooh, that almost qualifies as a no for you.
I wouldn't say, no. They're going to have to run. But I don't see this being a game where they're going to blow the Rams off the line of scrimmage the way they controlled the Chiefs at the outset, for example, last week. The Rams are playing a lot better, and Ndamukong Suh is now inspired, it seems, in the postseason. He's taking on double teams. He's maintaining his gap responsibility. I talked to somebody out in Los Angeles who said, you know, as in the past with other teams, during the regular season, it appeared as though he might have been taking some plays off. But now Wade Phillips has moved him into some spots that are favorable for him, and he's played very well the first two playoff games. I do think the Patriots can run on the Rams, certainly better than the first two playoff opponents, because you're not going to be running in predictable spots like the Cowboys, when I think they were a little too reliant on the run in that game and should have put more faith in Dak Prescott the way he was playing early in that game especially. But I think the Patriots aren't going to have the success initially against this Rams defense, the way they did, just coming off the ball and blowing the Chiefs, you know, off the line of scrimmage last week.
Bobby,
it's
going
to be tougher than that, but I think they can run it.
What interests you most about this game? What's the most interesting facet to it?
I mean, there's so much about it that fascinates me. I mean, there's a lot of storylines that are off the field. I mean, the intersection of the Patriots and the Rams, once again, 17 years after Super Bowl 36, the fact that you have the Patriots going up against the Rams, and I think it's kind of ironic, and I've said this a couple of times this week, that you had Robert Kraft in 1994 changing the fortunes of the NFL by keeping the Patriots home, outbidding Stan Kroenke, who wanted to move the Patriots to St. Louis. Eventually, he buys into the Rams, takes control of that franchise, and moves them out of St. Louis to Los Angeles. I think the two head coaches, McVay, Belichick, and despite the difference in appearances and personalities, I think there are a lot of similarities between Sean McVay and a young Bill Belichick, a kid who grew up in the game, grandfather, of course, a former NFL head coach and a general manager of an NFL dynasty. You know, somebody who's got it in his DNA to be a football coach and is far ahead of, very precocious, but also recognized as a good teacher, smart, in that he was secure enough to hire Wade Phillips as a defensive coordinator, retain John Fossil. He's got a good staff. And I just think that's an interesting and obvious storyline. But I think ultimately for me, it just comes down to the Patriots against the Rams, offense versus their defense. Can this defense under Wade Phillips slow down the Patriots offense, which has been so good this postseason? I think the Patriots can slow down the Rams. And I think the Rams have personnel that can cause problems for the Patriots, but I think it would be very difficult for Phillips and his defense to do what Phillips and his defense in Denver did in the AFC Championship game, for example, a couple of years ago.
Bobby, thanks as always for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
Love the spot. We'll see you next Friday.
Looking forward to it.
In Hotlanta. Okay, we'll see you on Radio Row.
Thank you.
We might have to get everybody to sing that day.
Hopefully they have air conditioning in the building.
No question.
Yeah, hopefully,
I'll be bringing the heat.
Hopefully.
Everything I got.
Forget Hotlanta, it's Boblanta.
Okay, Boblanta next Friday. Quick update here from Murray, and then we're right back with your calls.
Felger and Maz.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Personally, this is your fifth time in Super Bowl. What are your thoughts about it?
I mean, it's just surreal. I mean, just being part of the organization here, just coming into what was it was already established and just keep on grinding, keep on helping them out, keep on helping this organization out and getting wins and just coming out, doing the best football I can do every time I step out in the field. But it's just unbelievable to be part of it and to keep the journey going.
Rob Gronkowski yesterday meeting the media. You want to follow up on my coin toss thing?
Yeah, again, because the whole idea of the Patriots sort of shifting gears, or Belichick shifting gears now and taking the ball in the early part of these games. And I know the Chiefs made the call in the AFC Championship game. But in the Super Bowl, the more I think about it, both teams should defer. They should both want to start on defense.
I mean, I'll still make the claim that the Patriots getting the ball first in both games, it worked in one respect, of course. So they got up on top. But both the Chargers and the Chiefs had a chance to really turn it against you. Remember, the Chargers were receiving a punt with 3:30 left down. I can't remember what it was at the time. 21. I mean,
I think it was 28-7.
Okay, so it's the really last chance to get back into that ball game. But if they get points on that possession instead of fumbling the punt, but if they get points on that possession, even three, then they get the ball to start the second quarter. Let's say they get seven. Now you're 27-17. It's a ball game. Kansas City with just over a minute left is in easy field goal range, and Mahomes misses an easy touchdown to the running back and then takes a sack out of field goal range. And that was their last possession of the second quarter.
And then they gave up seven going the other way.
When they gave up seven, the Pats weren't even really going for it, that Belichick admitted after the game. But either way, then Kansas City gets the ball to start the third quarter, and they score in their first possession. So, like,
they could have been up 10-7.
You could have gotten burned on both things.
Yeah, especially the one in Kansas City. And I don't think it's a stretch to say in Kansas City, I mean, the Chiefs ended up taking the lead in the second half. So
twice.
Right. So, like, you look at that and say, did it really pay off the way they wanted it to if you're the Patriots? And in a manner of speaking, it did. But in the long view, the Chiefs got the lead.
I just find it amazing that, you know, Bill's so good. He's now even, like, he's messed with my head on the coin toss. Like, he controls. They've gone to three overtimes in the playoffs under Belichick. They've won all three tosses. They're 3-0. I don't know what the odds on that are. Easy enough for a nerd to figure out. You know, it's whatever the next one is from 50-50. Then it's
like 12% or something.
Okay. Is that what it is?
Yeah, to win all three.
12% to win all three.
Right, because the first one's 50, and then the second one's 50 again, which means to win both, you're at 25%. Then you split it again, and you're at 12.5.
How do you even figure that out so fast?
Wicked smart.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is.
No, I'm good with...
He went to Tufts. He's a smart kid.
Good with math.
Smart kid. Where else do you get in other than Tufts?
BU. Holy Cross. I got rejected from Harvard.
You did?
Yeah, I wasn't smart enough.
Bill can either, you know, Jedi mind trick the coin to come up heads, or even if he doesn't, he's now messed with the head of terms of, well, any team that once took the ball and let Belichick get that double score at the end of the second, beginning of the third was an idiot. But now it's like he wants the ball first, and so he's scoring every time he gets the ball first. So now I win the toss. Now what do I do? He's got to figure it out either way.
Yeah, no matter what you do, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Yeah,
no matter
exactly.
What you do, you're an idiot.
I'm surprised we haven't heard from Carlton on this, too. He's like Magneto from the X-Men. He can manipulate magnetic fields.
Yeah, I think Matt Slater's got a magnet in his pocket.
So, anyway, there's that.
If I'm the Rams, I defer. I want my defense on the field because I want to punch the Patriots in the mouth early. That's what I would do.
Okay, Mike and Methuen, back to the phones. What do you got for us?
Just quickly, one point. Philip Dorsett's another one. If you want to look at Brady missing the OTAs, I feel like he should have a better rapport with Brady, and he doesn't. And he's now, that's two off seasons that he didn't get an opportunity to work with Brady since he got here. On to my main point. I was originally going to talk about the Chiefs, but the more and more I think about the Rams game, I'm so fascinated by this game. And I feel like people think that this is like a fait accompli, and I couldn't disagree with that anymore. The Rams present sort of all sorts of challenges that I don't think the Patriots have dealt with all year. They have, obviously, like Sue and Donald are one thing, but they run that like zone running scheme that like the Patriots had a hell of a time with all those years against the Denver Broncos. Like that's basically correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that sort of the Shanahan like running scheme?
Yes.
And they're just they don't have one thing to key in on offense. They could run the ball, they could throw the ball. Goff, you know, while he's not great, every once in a while he's capable of dropping an absolute dime into somebody's lap at any point in the game when they need a big play. Robert Woods is a very underrated wide receiver.
So Mike, let me stop you there. They're a legit opponent who's had legit success over the course of the season. Legit. They're not as good offensively as the Chiefs, but they're better defensively, and if the rankings don't show it, I can't explain it. They should be better defensively. They are better defensively. They are better defensively, and I'll show it to you in a little bit as I look at some of their most recent games. They are better defensively. They've been wire to wire. I mean, basically, Maz, when we would do our NFL power rankings, or anyone would do their NFL power rankings, the Rams have been on top of the Patriots the entire year.
Yes.
With the exception of maybe now the last month. As the Pats turn it around, and now we think the Pats have flipped the switch, and, you know, but at no point in the year I haven't heard many people say that the Pats are better than the Rams at any point this year until very recently.
No, look, and again, if I remember right, their first loss was at New Orleans, right? And, you know, they fell behind by a pretty good margin that game, and then they came back. They lost 45-35. But had they won that game, if you remember at the time, people were talking about the possibility of them maybe even going undefeated. Because if they had gotten by New Orleans, the schedule softened up. Now, look, they sort of spun a little bit there after that loss. But to me, they got it back together. Goff started playing better the last couple of games of the regular season. So I just think the fact that people are almost like kissing off this game now, I find to be unbelievably stupid and asinine. Really. I think that if I'm the Rams, I want my defense out there in that first series, and I want those two tackles punching Shaq Mason, David Andrews, and Tooney right in the face. I want those two guys to smash them right in the face in the first series of the game.
Fred in Norwood. Hi, Fred.
Guys, I have a proposal. First of all, I think the overtime is fine the way it is because I like the aspect that you got to play defense and you can't allow a touchdown. You know, a field goal, you still get to play. However, I feel like an acceptable fix could be you tie in the overtime kickoff with the opening kickoff. If you kick off to start the game, you get the ball in overtime. That way both teams know the entire game, if it goes to overtime, who's getting it. And if the team at the end is going to tie it up to score and they know they're not getting the ball, they go for two. Maybe you have less overtime.
It's a great idea.
Fred, I'll tell you what, kid. Good job. Gold star. I was going to say, I'm not taking suggestions. I took that one. That's a good suggestion.
I mean, or you just keep alternating. You receive to start the game, you kick to start the second half, you receive to start overtime.
And now this ties into all the whole strategy on the opening kickoff.
Correct. You have to decide, because if overtime, we get the ball first.
Do I want the ball first and third, or just to open the second half? I mean, what did you always take first and third, the chance to get it in overtime?
In a playoff game, probably.
Well, you know what? No, I take it back. Not if Mitch Trubisky is my quarterback and I have the Bears defense, right? Or I'm like the
point.
The Ravens, right?
But there's strategy involved in it.
Yeah,
it's a good idea. Eliminate the coin toss.
That is just not a horrible idea at all, sir. All right, as a reward, I'm going to give you, sir, who just called in, and everyone else, unfortunately, a chance to win, your last chance to win, Murray.
Oh.
You ready?
Are the tickets up front? Are the tickets up front? Let me win them. That's how you end the show, right? With that?
Yeah, that's fade out music.
Songs about coke.
Is it?
Yeah, you never knew that.
I always thought it was a little bit about.
No, it's a put on. Everyone likes
someone's sexuality.
No, came well. The way I always read it, at least
it's a Townsend song, right?
Oh yeah,
and that's all
yeah,
I'm going to say. I don't want to go too far, but
yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that Murray thinks it's about drugs.
The tickets up front. Let me win them. Let me win them. Won't you come and join
the party, Dress to Kill? He's worried about Dress to Kill?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Nobody knows what it feels like to lose these tickets all the time. Nobody knows what it's like to be the sad man.
Okay, so we've got, you know what? I'm going to give away two things. WHO tickets for their September 13th concert at Fenway coming up, and another giveaway for you. Two, double your pleasure right after these words.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six World Major Marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap, retreats into the pocket, fires it near side, the pass deflected and intercepted. It is intercepted, now lost out of bounds, but the Chiefs should have the ball. Tre'Davious Ward has it, but a penalty offside on Kansas City is going to neutralize it.
Offside, defense, number 55, lined up in the neutral zone.
D Ford trying to get an advantage. lines up in the neutral zone, and New England gets a gigantic break.
It wasn't but by a few inches, but I thought it was legitimate. He was. It looked like, on the angle of our camera at least, that he might have been off by a tad. Normally you're warned and the coach is warned if somebody's doing that before they throw in a game with that magnitude. But they did, and he didn't waste any time doing it. He didn't wait till the interception to throw it. He had his hand on his flag right from the get-go, so he saw it on his angle and felt that that was a call.
They said I was round up on sides. Was I?
All right, we got the Who tickets here in a few minutes. And there's, again, it's a gender-free Friday. Everything on the table from the week, anything we've gotten to or have yet to get to. That's obviously the one that sticks out from last week to me. If D Ford isn't lined up off sides, you're home this week. But he is. And his comment, mic'd up on the sidelines, to me remains an all-timer.
Boy, did my opinion of him as a player just change.
Hey, D, you just cost your team a chance to the Super Bowl. And they said I was offsides. Was I?
I'll be curious to see how much, if any, he maybe takes a financial hit because of this, because he's one of the quote-unquote marquee free agents this offseason.
Some dumb team will pay him.
I mean, really, again, if you look at the numbers, he had whatever it was, 13 and a half sacks, seven forced fumbles. That's ridiculous. Now I look at him and go,
Yeah, right.
No thanks. A guy who's that oblivious on the sideline, like you just say, sorry, can't do it.
No way, dude. Was that? Good.
They said I was round up on sides. Was that?
Every time I hear him, like, you got to be kidding me.
And Maz, I think you either put it on the Facebook page or you tweeted it. There's been another angle from someone sitting at the 50. It's even, oh my God, this angle. It's like, dude, you're basically with the Patriots.
So I was just about to say this. So we've now seen different angles. A TV angle I thought was a little deceiving. Then we saw the all 22. It didn't look as bad. Now there's someone who's not sitting at the 50. He's sitting at exactly at the 34-yard line.
Right, which is he's dead on.
The line of scrimmage right down the line. And basically, his shoulder blade feels like it's in the, you know, crossing where the ball is. So it's obvious. I told you I have a friend who's a college ref. He's a college side judge. So he makes these calls at the college level. He had that screen grab of the guy sitting at the 34 right down the line. And here's what he sent me. He says, this is the latest screen grab I've seen online. If this is where Ford is lined up at the snap, I don't like the call. This guy's a Patriots fan too. I don't like the call. The game's decided on this? ? Too technical. No one wants that to decide a game. No advantage was gained. If he's been a problem all game, then call it early. And then because he's a Patriots fan, he did add because he had to. But the missed OPI in KC was much worse, in my opinion. Oh, he's got to make himself feel play, better. Yeah. Yes, the pick play's got, you got to do that. But, you know,
maybe there was someone chirping in his ear then from the Patriots sideline.
And that's what my guy said the last time. He said the first time, he says, look where the side judge is standing. He's standing right there. Right against the Patriots bench, and so was he cajoled into it. So while he was obviously offsides, like, I mean, anyone with eyes could tell you he was obviously offsides. In the football world, like, my guess is that does not get called enough for people to say that's a bad break.
You know what I mean? Is one of those things that, like, you know, we were talking about transparency of officiating earlier on, and I don't know, maybe you can make some sort of judgment by what Andy Reid said. But maybe they told him earlier in the game, dude, watch it.
Right, so that's a whole other thing. If he's been told or warned, if he's been set, you know, if that side judge had set him back before and he still does it, and clearly listening to him on the sidelines, well, I don't think we're dealing with a Rhodes Scholar here.
Okay, so that's the thing. Is then I hear it and go, I could totally see them saying to him, look, you got to back up. You got to back up 6 inches or you got to back up a foot.
Was I? What?
And then later in the game, he's still doing it. It's like, well, I gave you a chance, dude. Because he just sounds oblivious.
Was I?
Oh, man. You got to be kidding me. So, but that, you know, look, last year, you did not get a break on a play like this. That double pass, the Eagles double pass on the goal line. Matt Chatham and everyone was crying about this. One of the receivers was, I can't remember, either on the line when he wasn't supposed to be or not off the line. He wasn't offset. He was sort of in no man's land, and the ref could have thrown a flag on him and didn't. So I think on those plays, there's more gray area than we give it credit for, that the ref is going to either set you or give you a warning or, you know, certainly the player can check. We see this all the time. The player will point to the side judge and then either go up or go back. And so, you know, sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. You got it against Kansas City, that's for sure.
Yeah, so this is further evidence that they caught a break there. They caught multiple breaks. One, D Ford lined up in the neutral zone. Two, they actually called it. They could have let it go. So, like, I don't understand why people would get offended by that. Like, you know,
do you understand how many emails I've gotten where fans are saying, well, Brady knew he was offsides. That's why he took the shot. There was no break there. He knew he was going to get the play back.
Which is ridiculous.
My God.
It is. I'd be willing to bet if we went through every Patriots championship, with the possible exception of
04,
we could find a circumstance somewhere along the line where we said, they're lucky they got that one because that altered the course of events.
And did you say even once they lost?
Yes.
I mean, for the opponent as well.
Sure, absolutely. Of course. I think those exist in just about every sporting event. It's rare that they don't. Every big sporting event. Like, you know, you can find a million of those. Hell, go back to the World Series with Mookie Betts and the fan interference thing. Okay. Like, you tell me that one couldn't have gone the other way?
That call could have gone the other way.
Or the LCS, I guess it was.
That series was going to go the other way.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. One call like that changes a game.
No, you're still fighting the good fight, Maz. Good job.
No, I am.
Stay in that take bunker, man. Don't come out.
I'm worried about their ability to sign Mookie.
Sox actually lost that thing. Wheel of gutless bums. Let's go back to it. I wouldn't give up on it. That was a lot of good material there.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm dug in. They're lucky they got that call.
See, this is why I do think the Kansas City game could have gone either way. I do. The Eagles game, I feel like they were the better team that day. That second Giants Super Bowl, they were the better team that day and the better team in general. The 07 game could have gone either way. Like, there's some I think could have gone either way. The 04, you were a wagon and deserved to win all those games. There was no breaks there. 03, you were the best team. I think, you know, 01, a couple different games there could have gone either way. So, I mean, not every game could have gone either way. Sometimes I just think the better team wins even when they gets the breaks. This Kansas City game, I'm sorry. I think it could have gone either way in that game. But I think too many fans are just saying, well, you know, here we go. Here's another, you know, the juggernaut continues and we've arrived. And not appreciating the fact that you easily could have lost that thing. And it really could have gone either way.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.